Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
Some milestones in life are so momentous that reaching them can leave you feeling like nothing will ever be the same again. That was the case for Andy Flores on one historic night in 2008.
November 6th, as of election day, I am no longer a virgin. Congrats, Barack Obama, and congrats me!
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. And today, in honor of the new year and all the impossible resolutions we set for ourselves, we present tales of teenagers desperate to reach that climactic moment when they can finally shout,
I just had sex, and it felt so good,
I could not wait to join the sexual revolution. So I was born in the early 1960s. I was always fascinated by sex.
As a teenager, Beth Ida Stern was ready to join the revolution, but there was one thing standing in her way.
So even though I saw myself as really quite a desirable specimen, very eager to drop trow and join in all the fun, I was a complete mess. I was plump and bespectacled, and so I was nobody's idea of a sexual revolutionary, only in my own imagination.
To make matters worse, Beth's friends were all already card-carrying members of the revolution.
When we were in middle school, so in the mid to late 70s, is when my friends started having makeout parties. Everybody would go into the basement and play Spin the Bottle or 7 Minutes in Heaven. And I was never even invited to the parties, let alone into the closet where, you know, the actual kissing was happening.
But Beth wasn't about to let anyone know the truth. She actively hid her virginity from her friends for years, as evidenced by letters she wrote to her best friend, also named Beth, in high school.
One of the cool girls to whom I became close was other Beth, who, even though we had the same name, was the polar opposite of me. Skinny, tall, and actually slutty. The Beth I wanted to be. Many of the notes I inked to other Beth journaled my prolific sexual adventures starting at age 15. Some of what I wrote was true, like the dates at the top of each page. May 8th, 1979, hey wench. Thanks for your sweet note. I'm really glad that we're such good friends, too. I love sex. Well, sometimes. It depends who it's with. What are you doing this summer before having an abortion? Let's have plans.
Oh,
I went off to camp. I went to an all-girls camp, and it was a YMCA camp, and I'm Jewish, so the whole thing just didn't fit at all. But the relief was that there were no boys there. But I did have to keep up the facade of all of the lies, because I was surrounded by the girls that I was going to high school with still. And so I had to talk a good game, even though some of the heat was off.
I must have sex when I return to Evanston. It is required for my existence. I haven't had good, sweaty sex since Boston, spring break. Not true, still a virgin. August 6th, I can't wait to go to California. It'll be a much needed change from Evanston, Death City. There better be many, many, many foxy, fine-assed hunks of men there. And I better have my hand on a different one's tushy every day. Love, Beth Ida Stern, President, Bulge Surveyors, Incorporated.
I gave away my virginity to find some relief from having to lie about having so much sex. And so my first actual sexual intercourse experience was not because I was into the guy. I just did not want to be a virgin anymore.
September 28th, 1981, Bethy Boo. Just got done with secret admirers last Saturday. It was lust at first sight. You would have been proud of me, other Beth. You spent quite a while in my room that night. I've been so sore for 2 days. True, I was sore.
When it comes to losing one's virginity, teenagers have tons of questions about it. For Beth, it was simply a matter of when. But for other, more sensitive types like Griffin Dubois, it's a question of how.
I mainly had this notion of the first time being this idyllic thing with candles lit. It was a lot about having all these perfect ideals in my mind about what it had to be. I was definitely overthinking it a lot. I thought that it had to be this way, and I had to be with this person, and it should be this way because it's special, right?
My name's Griffin, and I'm from upstate New York. I was like a semi-nerdy drama kid in high school, and I was never one to journal, but the summer before senior year, when I was 17, I went out to California to visit my cousin Maggie, and I met her friends, and I completely fell in love with one of them. And so when I got back to New York, I started a journal to write about it and channel all of the feels. August 21st, 2001. Well, hello, journal. I just got back from California a few days ago. Boy, was it eventful. Sure, the Monterey Bay Aquarium and the Golden Gate Bridge were nice, but lots more happened than that. Chelsea. If there was the one in my life I had to choose, it would be her. She's so damn amazing. She's the most deep, intellectually stimulating, unique person I've ever met. She's Catholic by her own volition. Now that is amazing. And she is so open-minded too. She wants to be bisexual, she says. But I think she knows that she can't really become bisexual. And I hope she won't deprive a guy from being the luckiest person in the world. On the Friday that I met her, we began talking, and I realized how much there is to her. I don't know if she realizes this, but that was one of the coolest experiences in my life. Next to the Cash 22 concert I went to a year and a half ago. My fear of one-sided conversations slash relationships was obliterated because she kept asking me questions and acting genuinely interested in what I had to say. I need to be able to talk to someone I'm in a relationship with about something with some goddamn substance. That was the cause of the downfall of me and Carolyn. She could not communicate anything to me with any kind of importance or substance unless it was through a note or IM. Communication is the most important thing in a relationship. Okay, back to Chelsea. She's so laid back, it's frightening. Not low-key, just laid back. I really liked her hair before the dreads. In the 2 days we knew each other, she turned her hair from straight to dreads. I could have run my fingers through it and everything, but I like the dreads now too. Now, I rarely thank God while looking up toward the ceiling and giving a thumbs up. But I was neck deep in love, and I didn't realize it until she was leaving. If I had had you, journal, that evening, I could have written all night. Oh, the heartbreak. She just sent me an email in which she wrote the following. I never thought I'd find a reason to want to live in Otisville, New York. But life is surprising sometimes.
I definitely wanted to have a relationship with Chelsea. She was pretty much the ideal person to lose our virginity to in my mind at that time. And she, you know, was across the country. So sure enough, the one that is perfect for me to lose my virginity to lives in California. So it's not like we said that we were going to save ourselves for each other or anything. We knew that we would have other relationships possibly within the year or so until she moved out east. But yeah, I started meeting other people and I had tons of hormones.
I'd like to turn your attention to the back page of my journal. Two lists, okay? One, girls I've kissed and there's names there. And the other one is girls I've had sex with no names. But that heading was ready, damn it. Oh, and also, there are some asterisks next to some of the girls with the... And the bottom, you can see, the asterisk says tongue involved. That's so if, you know, scholars many years from now, they have the legends to clarify things. Okay, so back to the journal. August 22nd, 2001. It's Chris's birthday today. Now he's 20. I really like Chris. He's a great guy. And he's so damn funny, too. He made the simple mayonnaise incident into a store-wide laugh center. He also seems to get the ladies, too. Chris informed me that I will get laid pretty soon. Because that always is what happens to guys when they start working at Mix. He mentioned being in the in crowd, which reminded me of the Berenstain Bears. But I think he just means that I'll get into a different circle of friends, which allows me more opportunity to get laid. That would be nice. I tell my mom that I'll only lose my virginity to someone with whom I have a mature, mutual love for. But if the opportunity arises, that may be out the window. However, I want sex to be special. I don't want to just hand it out for free. September 4th. Well, it just happened. I actually just had the opportunity to have sex.
Well, me and Emily had been friends for a while, and I had a crush on her, and we were hanging out in my basement, just watching TV, and then she says, so can we just do this and still just be friends? It was definitely a difficult decision in the moment.
Emily actually asked me if I wanted to have sex. I turned her down, but I could have. That means something. She thinks at least I'm sexually attractive. I would definitely have sex with her if it wasn't my first time. Hey, I got her shirt off completely, as well as her bra. And I could have gone down on her if she wasn't incapacitated. Let's just say. I got my hands down there because I could do that, but I don't think my mouth would be very welcome. Plus, I don't think I want to lose my virginity like that. A friend with benefits that is more experienced than me and no possibility of a relationship? I don't know. I think maybe losing my virginity should be a little more special than fucking a friend with benefits on my couch in my den while Simpsons episodes are playing in the background. Would I lose my virginity to Chelsea? Without a doubt. September 4th. Well, there are a few reactions to my encounter with Emily. Steve yelled at me for second-guessing myself and completely agreed with my initial decision. Bennett yelled at me for not taking the opportunity, as I'm quite sure Chris will. And finally, Chelsea loves me for my decision. So all in all, I know I made the right decision. Chelsea is making me crazy. Her awesome personality and constant flattery make me feel like getting up and driving to the airport and staying there until I get a flight to San Francisco. She's so sweet and cute and sexy, and I love it. I am fast falling in love with her. And I really am falling, too, because nothing I feel can stop it. I've never felt this way before. She says that she wants to sign my journal in the girls I've kissed section. And if my luck plays right, maybe she'll be signing the adjacent list. I'd like to say here that I actually never saw Chelsea ever again. I know.
I didn't even have sex during my freshman year of college. It was the beginning of my sophomore year. My first time was not actually all that special. It was a girl that I had met at a party, and we made out a little bit, and she wanted to have sex with me, and I had just met her, and I thought, oh, I just have to do it. Okay, I've got the opportunity, just got to do it. And so I did. And of course, it was terrible. It was not very special at all. If I could go back and, you know, talk to my 17-year-old self, I'd say, calm down. Don't worry about it. The worst thing that happens right now is that you get laid, and that's pretty good.
As always, all the childhood writings heard in today's episode were shared with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And this concludes our mission to trade in our V-cards, where we learned the only thing more anticlimactic than losing your virginity is losing your podcast virginity.
This is my first time on a podcast, and it's very special. Thank you. It is very, very special to me. It is exactly as I always imagined it would be. It's perfect. I'm very happy to give you the gift of my first podcast.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Or visit GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. The Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. If your company would like to support our podcast, email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Catcher. Shay DeGrandis and John Dorsick story produced these for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Paladino, and Snakes. Additional thanks to AdZerk, Lance Roberts Studios, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make this stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.